That's one of the things our scripture will look at today. Is he worthy? And the answer is that God is worthy. Today we'll be looking at Psalm 78, verses 1 through 4, and then I'm going to skip down and read verses 12 through 16. If you were participating or got a chance to see Bible study since Wednesday night, I ask you to spend some time reading the whole psalm. It's a rather lengthy psalm, and it's a psalm that gives a great history of what God has done for the chosen people. I hope you took some time to look at it. If not, I hope you'll take some time this afternoon to look through it, because it has a great story about what God has done for the people throughout history. So we're going to start there by looking at that. Let me read for you these select verses from Psalm 78. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He did miracles in the sight of their ancestors, in the land of Egypt, in the region of Zoan. He divided the sea and led them through. He made the water stand up like a wall. He guided them with a cloud by day and with light from the fire all night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water as abundant as the seas. He brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. Incredible things that God has done. I hope you know some of the stories and also know where to find those stories in the Bible that are talked about here in Psalm 78. You see, it's important that we remember what God has done. It's important that we understand what God has done in the midst of our world and how God has throughout centuries, thousands of years, God has done so much for the faith community through the centuries. So incredibly much. One of the things that I'm well aware of nowadays is a lot of people don't know the Bible. They don't understand what's in the Bible. They don't spend time reading it. They don't spend time knowing what God has done for God's chosen people through the centuries. Some might say, that was long ago. It's not something I need to remember. It is something we need to know. It is something we need to understand. Most of the stories that we're focused on in this piece of the psalm come from the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers. You can find those stories in those books. And I hope you spend some time reading them. And I know people say, well, it's hard to understand. It's hard to get through. The very first thing I would encourage you to do is to get a translation that speaks more modern. Get you an NIV, an NASB, NRSV. If you need some help with that, let me know. The King James is wonderful, and the King James is very poetically spoken in many, many places in the Bible. However, we don't speak like they did 400 years ago. What the King James is written in is how people spoke 400 years ago on the common everyday street. It's not a special language. It's not something that's different than what people spoke on the street. And it's very hard to understand because we don't speak that way anymore. I can think of very few words that I add the TH on the end of or ST on the end of. See, I don't do any thinketh anymore. I just think. And it can be harder to understand those things. So I would encourage you to get something and spend some time reading it. Just by reading it and knowing what God has done for the people through the centuries can make a great difference in your Christian walk. It makes an incredible difference knowing what God has done, the ability that God has to do things, and how God works in the midst of the world for God's chosen people. Folks, we can't forget about those things. If nothing else, I go to the words of the Apostle Paul, and Paul says that we have been grafted into that same vine. And that these people that we can read about in the book of Genesis and Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and all of the prophets, these people are our faith ancestors. We are now part of that family. And God has done an incredible thing for that family, and we need to know those stories. Saw an article this past week that I didn't read, but the headline caught my eye. It said that people were having a great deal of problem with literature because they don't know the Bible. Do you realize that so much of our literature depends upon the stories of the Bible? And people can't read the current stories that are being written because they make allusions to things that are in the Bible that people know nothing about. And therefore, they can't appreciate the literature either. Folks, as church folks, we need to know our Bibles. And I just want to let you know, if you read 3 chapters a day in the Bible, and 5 on Sunday, you can read the whole Bible in 1 year. Just 3 chapters. And I'm going to guess that most people can probably read 3 chapters of the Bible. I'm not saying completely understand it, but just read 3 chapters of the Bible in less than 30 minutes. That's all it takes. And you can read through some of these incredible stories of what God has done. I mean, the people were griping and complaining and telling Moses, "You brought us out here in the middle of the desert. We don't even have any water to drink." And God said, "Take that staff that you used in Egypt and go hit that rock. And you'll have all the water you need for over 600,000 people." We're not talking about sinking a little well for a family. We're talking about 600,000 men plus women plus children. God says, "Go strike that rock, Moses, and you will have enough water for everybody here with you." Is that not an incredible story? It's not just sinking a well and finding a spring for a family. Over 600,000 men plus women plus children. Who knows how many there were all told? Because they only counted in censuses, they only counted men in those days. They did not count the women and they did not count the children. That's a lot of water, folks. I know some of you may have said we've seen that much water come down this summer. And some of you might even say we've seen that much water in our basement. Because I know some of us have had basement problems. Incredible amounts. I mean, we should spend some time with these stories. This whole psalm speaks of what God has done and the struggles of the community of faith. The whole psalm speaks of that. It says, here's what God did. Here's how the people struggled with it. Here's what God did. Here's how the people struggled with it. What a great insight to see God do incredible things and yet see still the people struggle with God doing that. Do you realize there's a story in the Bible that at one point in time they said, we don't have enough meat to eat. And we're tired of eating this old manna stuff. And we want some meat to eat. Moses, give us some meat. That night, by God's direction, incredible number of quails flew over the camp and dropped in the camp. And the people had so many quails to eat that they got sick of eating quails. They got exactly what they asked for. Maybe you've heard that. Be careful what you ask for. God says, you want meat? I'll give you meat. And they had so much meat that they got tired of eating quails. Now, that probably would never happen with Southern Baptist, any kind of Baptist from the South, and fried chicken, would it? I don't think we'd ever get tired of eating fried chicken, would we? Imagine that that happened, though. God, we want some fried chicken. And you had so much fried chicken that you didn't even want to see another piece, let alone eat it. You see, the psalm talks about that struggle that people had. God supplied, God did what was needed, yet they struggled with it. And sometimes they fought against it, and sometimes they walked away from it. It's important to know these stories, because this is our God who takes care of us and guides and leads us. It's good to remember and to retell God's incredible works and faithfulness for others to hear. Some people need to know how faithful God is. Some people need to know how powerful God is. Some people need to know how much God cares for God's people. Folks, it's good to remember. It's good to retell. These are our stories. We need to know them. We need to retell them. We need to rehearse them. We need to share them. We need to let people know. How would anybody know how powerful God is if nobody speaks about it? That's what the record of the Bible is. It's a record of people speaking about the incredible works that God has done. How would we know about Daniel in the lion's den unless somebody told it? Right? How would we know the incredible story of Jonah unless somebody told it? I know some people are going to tell you that's an awful hard story to believe. But I also hope that you always read to the end of the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, I know, can be read within 30 minutes. Maybe you need to go home and read it today. It doesn't end in a good way, by the way. Those of you that love to read the story, the children's story of Jonah to folks, to little kids especially, the little kid's story does Jonah chapter 1, Jonah chapter 2, and Jonah chapter 3. It never does chapter 4. So if you know the children's book about Jonah, you don't know the whole story. Because we don't want to tell children the fourth chapter. Because the fourth chapter is Jonah pouting and being mad at God. And thus ends the book with Jonah still pouting. We want to stop at chapter 3 where we can tell kids, see, when Jonah did what God told him to do, everything was great. But we don't want to tell them that then Jonah went off and pouted because he didn't get what he wanted. That's not something you tell little kids, is it? I think it should be. So that we can talk to them about pouting and talk to them about being mad at God. And how do you deal with that? And what do you do with it? You see, we need to know these stories because God is incredibly faithful. God has done powerful and wonderful things time and time and time again. Now let me take a bigger step though. Over the past 137 years, God has done powerful things for this community of Withville Baptist. Over the past 137 years, God has done powerful things for this community of Withville Baptist. Incredible things. Amen? Answers to prayer that went beyond your belief, right? Am I getting anything wrong yet? Things that God has done that you never expected God would do. Hearts that have been changed because of prayer and because of the touch of God. Souls have come to Jesus Christ to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and have eternal salvation and eternal life. God has done incredible things for the community of Withville Baptist. Amen? Okay, amen. God has done wonderful things for the community of Withville Baptist. Amen. You see, folks, that's how we should be about that. Because I want to admit to you that I can know all the Bible stories and I can understand all the Bible stories and I can go out and share those with people, but some of the people I meet who have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior need to know that God not only was active thousands of years ago, but they need to know that God is active right now in this day. And that God is working in people's lives to bring them ever closer in a relationship with God now, currently. You see, we need to know those stories. They're important stories. But we also need to know our story. And we need to be about sharing both those stories and our stories. I think back. You've heard me talk about this before. I think back over the time when I made a commitment to go to seminary. Quit a job that was easy 60 hours a week and all the money my family needed. And went to seminary making $15,000 a year. And God took care of my family through the whole thing. I believe, I'm going to look up here to my wife, maybe she can help me. But I believe for the first 5 years of our daughter's life, we never bought her any clothes except socks and underwear. Somebody was always giving us clothes. I think she was probably excited when she got the first pair of non-hand-me-downs. We only have one daughter, by the way, so. But that was one of the ways that God took care of us. Another way that God took care of us during that time is, I can remember a retired colonel from the Army. He never shook my hand that there wasn't $20 in it. And sometimes that was the money we needed for food. He never wanted me to acknowledge that there was $20 in his hand when he shook my hand. He never wanted to hear me say thank you. That was God working through one man's heart to take care of me and my family. I could continue through so many things in just my life and what God has done for me and how God has helped me and how God has turned me away from sinful things that were harmful to me and my family and helped me to walk on the right path by God's grace. I can tell you about incredible numbers of answered prayers. I mean, just 3 years ago, I had had a stress test done, and they said, you got a blockage. There's something wrong on the front side of your heart. And I went to Bristol and had a catheterization, and they couldn't find anything. And the only answer they had was, well, you're one of those people that have a false positive for a stress test. That was the only answer they had. That's not the answer I have. I think God did something between the stress test and the catheterization. Because people prayed. I think God did something in those weeks between the two. That's why June 13th, that's a happy day for me. June 13th was the first day of my second year as pastor here at the church. It was the day of my catheterization. What a wonderful blessing for the first day of the second year as a pastor of a church. But it was a wonderful blessing because they said, what? There's nothing there we need to fix. 13 is not a number that bothers me. 13 is not a number that bothers me. You see, God has done powerful things for this community of faith. Amen? We need to be telling people about that. We should speak boldly about what God has done. We should speak very boldly about what God has done so others will know the power of God through Jesus Christ to save. You see, I can tell all the stories in the Bible. I can share all the stories. But when I stand in front of somebody and say, God has helped me twice in my life to dry up from being an alcoholic. I couldn't do it. God did it. God helped me with that. That's the power of God. And we need to tell people about that. When I sit with a person who's having problems with alcoholism currently, and I can look at them and tell them, look at what God has done for me. Wow. Right? People need to know not just the old stories, but they need to know the current story, and we need to be out there boldly telling people. We need to not be bashful about it. We need to let folks know that God has cured me. God has helped me. God has done this for our church. God has built us up. God has encouraged us. God has strengthened us. God has given us boldness and courage to reach out and tell about Jesus Christ so that people couldn't be saved. Book of Romans says, how will they know without someone preaching? I'm going to paraphrase that a little bit. How will they know if you don't tell? Because the truth is, some of the people who need to hear about Jesus Christ the most and need to know about what God can do in the midst of our lives and in our world will never show up in church. They feel too uncomfortable coming to church. Sometimes they feel like they don't need it. Sometimes they'll tell me that's a crutch and I don't need a crutch. I'm strong enough on my own. Folks, if we're not out there telling them the stories of God, and what God can do for people and for communities of faith, how will they ever know? It's easy for me to say, bring them all in here. How many times have you invited someone and they've never shown up? Folks, it's time to go out and tell them. It's time to go out and tell them how powerful God is, how wonderful God is. It's time to go out and tell them everything that God can do in the midst of somebody's life. It's time. We need to know the old stories. We need to know what God has done through the centuries. And we need to tell people how powerful God is and how God has kept the chosen people throughout the centuries. But then we also need to tell them what God can do in the midst of our world right here, right now, in each individual life. And in the life of a community of faith, it's time to tell. It's not time to hold back anymore. If nothing else, and I know that you know me well enough to, I'm not in a person that sees the apocalypse right around the corner. Matter of fact, I'll boldly tell you, I pray that the apocalypse is no time soon. No time soon. Because there's a lot of people out there that need to deal with accepting Jesus Christ. And if the end of time comes, they won't get another chance. So I pray for it not to come, not to happen, so that people will be given more time to do what they need to do to establish a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But there are people out there that tell me the apocalypse is right around the corner. And they want to learn about it, they want to teach about it, they want to share about that. And I want to say, what are you doing about telling the people that might lose their lives for all eternity if you don't tell them? If you feel like it's right around the corner, it's all the more important that we're out there telling people that God can save them. It's all the more important. They need to know these stories. So I just want to ask you to deal with this question this week. Are we telling the generations around us the great work God has done for us? Are we telling the generations around us the great work that God has done for us? If you haven't been doing that, I hope today's the day that you start. I hope today's the day that you say, I'm going to tell somebody how great God is. And I'm going to let them know what God can do. Are we telling the generations around us the great work God has done for us? Let us pray. Lord, today, as it has been for a number of weeks, we've gathered together. We've gathered together to hear your story. And even though we may be limited in being able to gather together, we still have room. There's still empty spaces here of people who need to hear. And Lord, I know this community and I know that they have been very faithful inviting folks to be here. But for one reason or another, whatever it might be, it doesn't really matter. some of those folks haven't come. But it's no less true that they need to hear your stories. So maybe we need to transform how we do things instead of just inviting. Lord, give us the boldness and the courage to tell them what the things that you have done. How you have established this community of faith and lived in the midst of this community of faith. That we might know you better and we might see your hand at work in our lives. Lord, please, help us to recognize the open doors that you give us every week to share how great you are. And then not to hesitate, but to share boldly about a God who's taken care of chosen people not only through the centuries, but up to this very current day, so that people know how powerful and wonderful you are. And so that they too might come and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, helping us to build the kingdom of God in a powerful way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.